morning. I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Thursday, March 7th, 2024. Happy State of the Union, folks. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, what the White House wants for State of the Union. Number two, Trump's big D.C. fundraiser. And number three, the end of the McConnell era. All right, Jake, let's get into it. It is State of the Union, a big day in Washington, lots of pomp and circumstance, history, not usually a ton of news. But Punchbowl News sat down and had an interview with the White House Chief of Staff, and he gave us a little bit of direction in terms of what exactly he's looking for.
Well, let me start with this, Anna. State of the Union is like my ultimate, if you're a Hill reporter, it's like your ultimate get off my lawn day, because the Capitol gets just flooded with people who like come up one day a year and take your seats and make lines longer. And you're like, just let us handle this thing. We got it.
It did make me laugh. I was in Atlanta and I ran into a former member and he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to be up there for State of the Union. I was like, wow, because, you know, a lot of people come back for it. It's one of those kind of moments where, to your point, it's a lot of people that, you know, are asking directions on how to get to places that haven't actually spent much time in the building.
Right. So I'll say one other thing. It's like, you know, we covered the State of the Union. This will transition nicely into our into the top this morning. We're not going to be like running around getting a ton of. We will be getting a ton of reaction, but we're not putting out unless something very surprising, unexpected happens. We're not going to be putting out a special edition tonight after the State of the Union. Most of our audience is going to be watching the State of the Union. 30 million people watch the State of the Union and can come to their own conclusions about it. We will be including some stuff in the AM edition tomorrow. But more importantly, around 10 o'clock this morning on the East Coast, we will be releasing a special edition on the State of the Union. And leading that special edition is an interview with Jeff Zients, White House Chief of Staff. And follows on our interview, Anna, we did an interview with Ron Klain, former White House Chief of Staff, back, it might have been Biden's first State of the Union or first address to Congress. In our early days, we're still in our early days as a company, but in our really early days as a company. And it was a wide ranging interview, which we'll publish a lot of in this special edition that's out at 10. But this morning we published a sneak peek of our conversation with the Chief of Staff and asked him what frustrations Biden's trying to overcome in this State of the Union. And he said the frustration is Congress really needs to act. Three urgent priorities: funding the government, supporting Ukraine and the border. And he said Congress needs to provide the resources to manage the border. We do not have enough border patrols. We don't have enough asylum officers and immigration judges. We need to fund the border so we can manage the border and also make changes to the policies so we could secure the border, which I thought was interesting. I'll add one more point, Anna. The stakes here are high for Biden. Polls show big public polls, and take polls with whatever you want. You could say polls suck. I don't, you know, have your own opinions about polls, and I'm cool with it. But he enters this evening with sub-40 approval ratings, facing an extraordinarily challenging domestic and international landscape, and questions about his age and vigor. So this is a big moment. We'll have a couple people, I hope, in the chamber. At least one person in the chamber. So what say you on the State of the Union vibe? We're going on vibes, Anna.
We're
going
to do a vibe check.
A vibe check this morning.
You know, I think for Biden, to your point, Liz, there's rarely, you know, kind of these big dramatic moments that sometimes they come through where there's a back and forth. I think one of the, when you look at kind of Biden's history here, he has had and has been, you know, pretty adept at kind of handling. There was some back and forth with the Republicans last time. And so to your point of the vigor, the mental acuity, any questions about his age, these are going to be the things that people are looking at. It kind of reminds me of a People magazine. It's like, what's the body language like when you look at the different photos of stars? That is going to be a lot of what tonight is. Not necessarily huge policy, you know, reveals, But I do think it's interesting, you know, when Zients talks about the frustration here that the White House has with Congress's inability to act, I think that, you know, that's a lot of people's frustration, not just in the administration, but kind of around the country when it comes to just kind of keeping the trains on the track. Before we move on to the number two, I do want to mention here, because it's an important part of this, we've got some news on the House Energy and Commerce Committee doing something pretty unusual today. Holding a classified hearing that's going to be then followed by a full committee markup on a bill introduced just a few days ago. Of course, this is the bill that is kind of on a bipartisan basis moving forward that is looking to try to figure out the future of TikTok, one of the world's most popular social media apps. Jake, this kind of came out of nowhere. It's moving very fast. Whether or not it gets across the finish line, obviously, there's a lot of questions there. But a big challenge to the future of TikTok and its entire business model.
Yeah, the TikTok bill, which is a China Select Committee / Energy and Commerce bill, is basically forces ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, to sell TikTok in order to have a future in the United States of America. There's an interesting thing because the White House is behind it. We don't know where Mike Johnson is, shocking to nobody. I don't have a sense that he met with Kathy McMorris Rodgers, the chair of the Energy and Commerce Committee, yesterday. But as of last check-in with his office, they don't have a view on the bill yet. No time like the present, to be honest with you. But the White House is for the bill, and there is just a lot of I'd say there's a decent amount of support here. But there are First Amendment concerns. There are political concerns on this piece of legislation. So we'll have to see how it we'll have to see, A, what happens in the committee. I assume it'll pass the committee. I don't know that for sure, but I assume it will. And whether it will get a vote on the floor, I do not know yet. But comes out of the committee with a big vote, they're going to have to put this thing on the floor. Whether they could do it under a rule, under suspension, I don't know. But we'll keep a very close eye on this.
All right, let's move on to the number two story of the morning. You are scooping that former President Donald Trump's campaign raised more than $2 million at a fundraiser last night in D.C., interestingly enough, Trump wasn't even there. This was thrown and organized by GOP mega lobbyist Jeff Miller, who we have spoken about before, and featured Donald Trump Jr. and more than 100 members of Congress. It certainly continues to show Trump's stronghold in terms of the you know, kind of just power in Washington.
Yeah, I don't. Trump was not supposed to be there, just to be clear. He was not there, but he was not expected to. So it's not as if
people can raise money that much, yes, when, you know, for them when they're not actually in the building, you know, kind of doing the glad handing, taking the pictures.
Totally. And I'll say this. They say, as the organizers say, this is a record for any event that does not include the candidate. I have no idea whether that's true. So we didn't put that in this morning, but $2 million is a lot of cash. The fact that they got all these members to go is very interesting. Now, what's even more interesting, which was not public, is that after the dinner, Arthur Schwartz and Cliff Sims, two political operatives with close ties to Hill leadership and Trump Jr., organized a dinner that included Schwartz, Sims, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, Jim Jordan, Ways and Means Chair Jason Smith, John Barrasso, Steve Daines, Tom Cotton, Bill Hagerty, Tim Scott, Eric Schmidt, J.D. Vance. I mean, the brain trust of the Republican Party there. I'm surprised they were able to get all these people in the same room, to be honest with you. But a very interesting dinner at the Conrad Hotel, which is, I guess, not terribly far from the JW Marriott. But it was an interesting dinner. And here's something interesting. Johnson sat across from Don Jr. And talked about 2024 strategy. So I would have liked to have that room bugged, but that would probably be legal. And I did not have it bugged.
That's good. I'm glad you set that straight for the record. Yeah, on that note, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. A really good item by Andrew Desiderio, who is covering the Senate leadership race to replace Mitch McConnell extremely closely. But there's been a turn that I think is really interesting. McConnell, of course, spent nearly two decades atop the leadership and was known for his iron rule of the conference. And now you have those looking to replace him. Not by name, of course, it's the Senate, but using him as a foil about, you know, talking, whether it's John Cornyn talking about, you know, a chance for a reset. The language is really interesting. John Barrasso, running for whip, told colleagues he wants to see a break from where we are now. Interesting to just see that shift pretty closely and kind of putting the McConnell era in the past. I think probably also a bit of an acknowledgement of the reality of the conservative frustration with McConnell.
Yeah, and that's always kind of been a lingering thing, the conservative frustration for McConnell. But listen, McConnell's been, you have to say, if you're a Republican, from we judge, it's important to, when you're judging someone's tenure like this, to take it on the whole, right? I think McConnell is probably one of the more successful Republican majority leaders, at least, I mean, my memory doesn't really go that far back beyond 20 years. Listen, they're going to want a break from McConnell. They're going to want to change things, even if they don't make sense. SLF, the super PAC, there's a lot of people that want to change the SLF leadership. SLF is very closely tied with McConnell. There are people who want to institute term limits on the Republican leader role, something McConnell is vehemently against. But we're just seeing the beginning of this now in an 8-month race to succeed McConnell, which is just, this is a long time. And some people think McConnell will leave before that. I'm skeptical, but anyway, an interesting item. We're going to continue to be all over this.
All right. With that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. As Jake mentioned at the top, we have a special edition State of the Union newsletter coming out mid-morning. Check your inbox for that. It has more details on that interview with Jeff Zients, as well as a look at the Republican response and much more, as well as, and I think this might be your favorite thing, Jake, the punch list. As always, please share the Daily Punch on social media with your friends. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can go deeper on everything we talked about and more by signing up for our free morning newsletter. All it takes is an email. Go to punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.